This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now, in about half an hour, I'll be speaking to former Deputy Minister of Education, YB Teo Nee Ching, on SPM graduates as to why some of them don't want to further their studies. But in the meantime, let's talk about droughts. Because automakers were racing to make more electric vehicles now have a problem because climate change is catching up with even that industry. Because last week, authorities in China's Sichuan province, the source of about a fifth of the country's lithium production, extended electricity cuts to some industrial users as the most intense heat waves in more than 60 years depleted reservoirs used for hydropower. Meanwhile, in Europe, dry spells have threatened to make the Rhine River, a crucial waterway for German, Dutch and Swiss trade for centuries, impassable at a key waypoint. Now, according to the UN as well, by 2050, droughts are expected to affect more than 75% of the world's population. So to understand the gravity of this, we have on the line with us Dr. Mariam Zakaria. She's a research associate at the Grantham Institute for Climate Change and the Environment at Imperial College London. Good morning, Dr. Mariam. Now, droughts aren't new, but we are hearing increasingly reports of it from places like California to India. But what makes it different this time? And why should we pay attention?
Thank you for having me on the show. Droughts are considered as creeping hazards, basically because the effects are felt over a longer time and it impacts a wide range of activities by affecting water availability. Now, almost every time, agriculture is one of the most affected sectors. You know, it is often associated with crop loss, food shortage, and inflated prices. It can again have secondary effects on the energy sector due to, you know, increased energy demand for irrigation and pumping. And there's also the social issue of poverty and displacement that are often associated with droughts. Now, given that this year, most of the Northern Hemisphere has been witnessing heat wave conditions since the beginning of the year. So the impacts of droughts have been exacerbated. Basically, it has been aggravated in the different places where we saw that, for example, in Europe, it has been associated with low river flows. We have heard of, you know, century-old relics being visible over riverbeds now. And we are, and as often, you know, droughts are also associated with dried up soil, and that can have, adverse impacts on agriculture. And then there's, of course, the problem of water available for domestic purposes. So these are all problems that are associated with droughts, but we have been seeing it, you know, over a larger area, over larger parts of the world this year happening, you know, in a single year. And that is why, you know, we should be paying more attention to these sort of extremes in the coming years.
So help us understand, is there any correlation between the heat waves we are seeing with these droughts?
When we talk about rainfall extremes as well as temperature extremes, these are all driven by the different atmospheric circulations that govern the climate of the Earth. So we often hear that, yes, like for example, in the heat wave that happened earlier in July in UK that was associated with the Azores High, or, you know, we talk about jet streams bringing in rainfall, cold weather, hot weather. So these circulations govern the extremes that we see. But however, because of climate change, we see that these patterns also exhibit some form of change. And because of the differential warming between land and the oceans, we see that sometimes the rainfall associated with these circulations will be lower, or we see that the temperatures, the hot conditions persist over a longer time. So, you know, rather than a direct correlation between, in a statistical sense, you know, we cannot say that heat waves and droughts are correlated, but climate change is a common factor, or global warming is a common factor that, you know, makes both of these conditions become more frequent as we go forward.
So I'm curious, I mean, what are the problems related to these extreme hot temperatures from this perspective of living creatures? And I'm not just talking about us humans, but even like wildlife and sea creatures.
So heat strokes are one of the gravest risks That are associated with heat waves on all terrestrial living beings. Now, when temperature increases, the body will need to work overtime to cool off. And this is why, you know, during heat waves, the warnings actively urge us to limit strenuous activities. We are asked to stay hydrated and we are asked to limit our time outdoors. And among humans, it is often the people who with underlying health conditions and the elderly and the children who are most vulnerable to heat strokes during a heat wave. Again, this is also applicable for animals, be it pets or wildlife. And when the concurrence of hot conditions with droughts can limit the ability of the animal's ability to cope, basically, especially in the wildlife, and you have to fend for your own water source, it can aggravate problems when, you know, droughts and heat waves coincide. And then there is also this whole different classification of heat waves that are, you know, particular to the oceans, which is called the marine heat waves. That is also known to impact marine ecosystems, particularly the ones that cannot move. Like, you know, we often hear about the corals bleaching and the mussels dying. So these are some of the more profound impacts of heat waves and or rather extreme hot temperatures on living creatures.
Okay, Dr. Mariam, I want to bring this conversation back to Malaysia because we are, of course, a hot and humid country. So how can we better prepare ourselves for what seems to be the inevitable occurrence of extreme hot temperatures?
One of the gravest impacts of heat waves concurring with humid conditions on human health is, again, heat strokes and heat stress. So in general, you know, creating awareness about the do's and do nots during a heat wave forms one of the first points of actions that should be taken. And this is not just, particular to Malaysia, but for any country for that matter. So generally the public, and I mean, every one of us needs to be aware of how should we alter our lifestyle during such events. And then, looking at it from a longer term, as I understand, Malaysia also has a lot of agriculture and it is quite labor intensive. So, you know, there should be policies in place that are conducive to the labor-intensive industry, so helping them to adapt their working hours or to restrict their time outdoors and so on. And then also, the other side is most often, when it comes to the agriculture, again, there is also the problem of, crops, whether the crops can survive sudden changes in temperature. So there should be long-standing efforts to develop variants that can tolerate the adverse effects of hot temperature. So these are some of the policies that I can think of.
Yeah, but in addition, are there any government policies that should be adopted? Is it as simple as just pledging to reduce energy consumption and moving more towards renewable energy mixes?
Yes, such steps form an important part, given that, like you said, now that we understand that, greenhouse gas emissions are an important driver of global warming. So, yes, policies that do pledge to reduce fossil fuels and promote energy, renewable energy. And, subsequent actions are needed for the mitigation of climate change in the long term. But the responsibility of spreading the awareness about climate change and the willingness to participate in such activities, that rests with every one of us. And
so let's look forward to the future. I mean, how do you expect climate change to actually evolve then?
Looking back into the history, we see that these changes have not happened overnight. This has been ongoing for several years. It's just that we are now at a point where we are seeing it happening more frequently. And so what I can say is that, we cannot, again, expect things to change overnight going in the future. But we have to, that does not mean that, we have to stop acting on, mitigating climate change in the long run. So yes, it is going to be a long journey going forward as well, but we will get there.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Dr. Mariam Zakaria. She's a research associate at the Grantham Institute for Climate Change and the Environment of Imperial College London, telling us that the journey when it comes to actually repairing the consequences of climate change are going to be aren't immediate, but we need to start now. Up next, I'll be speaking to Hannah Pearson of the travel consultancy Per Anderson on ASEAN's tourism recovery. That's happening after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.